You drink coffee, I drink coffee, just about everyone drinks coffee. So why bother with anything but the best? Darren's coffee is roasted at his new shop in Claremont, Indiana. And coming soon, you can order on Amazon and support the show by using Scott Horton's affiliate link. Darren'sCoffee.com. Because everyone deserves to drink great coffee.
All right, y'all, Scott Horton Show. Check out the archives at scotthorton.org and at libertarianinstitute.org/Scott Horton Show. And you can follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show as well. All right, so yeah, if you look at libertarianinstitute.org, I guess by the time you hear this, yesterday's page or something like that, you will see this piece by our friend Brian McGlinchey from 28pages.org. And, well, we had to shorten the title at the Libertarian Institute. It's called Saudis Exploit Vets to Stop JASTA. Again, Brian McGlinchey, and follow the link through to 28pages.org. And his title is Veterans Say Organizers Concealed Saudi Sponsorship of Their Trip to D.C. to Lobby for Changes to 9/11 Lawsuit Legislation. Well, that's kind of complicated. Welcome back, Brian.
Great to be with you, Scott. And I should have delegated my headline writing to you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've been dealing with rewriting British headlines for about a decade now, and so I'm pretty good at it. But yeah, actually, I think Jared gets the credit for that one. Mine. I tried a couple of tries, and they were no good. Anyway, what's JASTA?
JASTA is the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, and it is a law that passed just this last September over the President Obama's veto. It is only override by Congress of his entire two terms. And this was a law years in the making, and what it does is it modifies this Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, and that is the body of law that determines when and where U.S. citizens can sue foreign governments. And what it did was modify that in such a way that cleared the path and cleared some hurdles that were in place, cleared the path for 9/11 families, 9/11 survivors to proceed with their mega lawsuit against the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for its alleged ties to the 9/11 attacks.
Mm. All right. Now, so, well, let me play devil's advocate for just one second here. On the face of it, this kind of sounds to me like the kind of thing where the Israel lobby is just going to sue Iran for a bunch of stuff that they didn't really do all day. How is this different than that? Actually, they already do that. So if they can do that, how come a 9/11 family can't sue Saudi?
That's a great question, and they can now. There were hurdles before that led to a situation where under previous law, there already were exceptions for suing state sponsors of terror. However, under the previous law, let's say a foreign government handed a briefcase full of cash to a terrorist in New York, and then they, you know, carried out an attack on U.S. soil. Before those victims would have been able to sue for that. But not if the cash transfer happened in London, let's say, and then the attack happened on U.S. soil. So there were some and a lot of legislators say, obstructions that were not meant to be in there, that were not within the spirit of what they were intending when they put in the terror exception before. And so now this clears the way for people to present their evidence against those foreign governments that they accuse of sponsoring terror.
All right. So you got these veterans, and you want to tell us, how did you find these guys?
Through some, investigative journalism through Facebook, I was able to identify a few guys through Facebook that had participated in this, and I looked for I did some amateur psychological profiling, looking at people who had maybe been on just one trip and who looked like pretty bright people who might see through what was going on, and reached out to a few and struck it lucky. Veteran David Kassler was the first one to get back to me.
Hell of a story here. Set it up a little bit. Tell us about these three guys, the Cord brothers, correct? And Kassler?
Yeah, Tim Cord, Dan Cord, and David Kassler are the three veterans I talked to. And to give you a little bit of background on this, okay, so JASTA passed in September. all along in the run up to that passage, you had the Saudi lobby going very hard on Capitol Hill to prevent it from passing. Okay, then it passes. Well, now they switch into overdrive. You know, they didn't think game over. Instead, they went into overdrive in a big way in saying, okay, now we're going to work Congress to amend it, to change it, to, you know, take the teeth right back out of it and put some of these hurdles back in and obstruct those 9/11 families in their desire to bring the case to court. And so they, you know, over this last year, you know, in the run-up to the passage and after it, they have been on a influence buying spree like you would not believe. You know, people at the beginning of last year were marveling that they had, I don't know, 7 or 8 lobbying firms. McClatchy yesterday, this last week, reported it's now up to 17 lobbying firms. They just keep at, you know, every time we check every few months, there's more and more of them. Now, perhaps chief among them is Corvus. And Corvus is the big, you know, PR and lobbying firm that represents Saudi interests and helps them get their messaging out, not just in the United States, but really all around the world. Soon after the passage, Corvus went on, again, an influence acquisition spree where they were adding, you know, all kinds of people because you know, they hired their own firms and their own influential individuals to help make their case for things. Part of the Corvus plan was this veterans lobbying campaign. And what they've been doing is over the past several months flying 30, 40, 50 veterans at a time to Washington, D.C., where they put them up at the Trump International. So this is not a low-budget operation. That's a $400, probably a night room with a group deal. Flying them to D.C. and getting them to lobby against JASTA. Now, the rationale that they're using, you know, you'd say, why would a veteran want to have any involvement in this, in this law particularly? Central to the case that's being made against JASTA on Capitol Hill by the lobbyists, by Senators John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and so forth, and many other people, is a claim that, hey, if foreign governments adopt the same law, if they reciprocate and create their own JASTA, what you'll have is foreign citizens suing individual military service members, Private Smith and Sergeant Snuffy will be sued in foreign courts. Now, we've got another report at 28pages.org that listeners should check out titled Veterans Being Misled on JASTA as International Law Expert. You know, I talked to a former counselor on international law at the State Department. He's a professor of law now at University of California, Davis, William Dodge. He says it's baseless because, again, as I said at the beginning when I described this law, it modifies the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. It only deals with suing foreign governments, not foreign individuals. So JASTA doesn't enable you, Scott Horton, or these 9/11 families to sue Prince Bandar of Saudi Arabia. It's about suing the government of Saudi Arabia. And so they're lured to this cause with a lie. Some are lured with just the opportunity to take a free trip to Washington, D.C., stay at the Trump Hotel and meet senators and representatives. These veterans, though, the ones who are being recruited into it at the lowest level, you know, they come with good intentions. But most importantly of all, what they don't know is that Saudi Arabia is paying for their bed, paying for their flight, and is behind this entire operation.
Mm. Well, and, you know, I guess I should have paged down to the quote here, but basically, well, he says, oh, here it is. I thought we were going to sit in on a thing and listen to them talk about it. We had no idea what position that this group that was flying us out had. The way it was sold to me and my brother was, do you want to go on a cool trip? I didn't know there was going to be work. How's that for broad enough? I didn't know there was going to be a thing that I had to do at all. I thought it was just going to be a group of vets getting together and checking out Congress. Hey, want to go on a neat trip? Yeah, you're a soldier, so you qualify to go on our neat trip and meet Congress. And then they only find out when they're there that, and we'll get to the Saudi funding part in a second, mm-hmm. but they didn't even know what the hell they were doing there at all until they're in a congressman or a senator's office and the people who brought them start with their shtick, and then finally they start getting clued in onto what's going on here. Is that it?
That's true. That's true for some people. So we're talking 40 veterans at a time. And for the Cord brothers, yes, the approach that was made to them was, hey, do you want to go on a trip to D.C.? It'll be great. It'll be fun. You can learn about this thing called JASTA. And they say, well, okay, sounds awesome. But for other veterans, and I've seen emails, you know, they are disclosing that they are there to lobby against JASTA. So you have different degrees of understanding, you know, depending, I guess, on how much people read the emails. But you know, for some people, just that initial approach from a fellow veteran is enough to get them going, where they say, hey, how about we go to D.C. and you'll have you know, meals are paid for, the flights paid for, the Trump International Hotel is paid for. And that's enough to get up and go for, you know, a lot of people.
Yeah. All right. So tell us the story or their story about how it was that they kind of got clued into what was really going on here.
Well, it starts off pretty strangely, because the first order of business for this week, it's a 4-day work week, you know, flying in, 2 days of lobbying, and then flying back out. The first order of business on the evening of arrival for these trips is a dinner at the Trump Hotel, which is kind of like a welcome dinner and a briefing. Here's how we're going to, you know, work this week. Here's what we're going to be doing. According to all three of these witnesses, and the two brothers didn't know, the Cord brothers did not know David Kassler before they got to Washington. They say the main guy organizing these trips is this guy named Jason Johns. He steps up to the podium or what have you and says, hey, thanks for being here. We're really passionate in our community about JASTA. And first and foremost, this is not funded. None of this is being taken care of by Saudi Arabia. And these brothers and other veterans, they look at each other because nobody had even asked that question. So, right. And Tim Cord had one of the great lines in the piece when I was interviewing him. He said, none of us even asked or even suspected it. It's like you broke a vase and you're like, go in the living room and don't look at the vase.
Right.
He said they all looked at each other, you know, wondering, wait a minute, is this funded by the kingdom? And, you know, they go and they do their lobbying the next day. And it was that next night, Tim Cord runs into one of two brothers who were also really involved in organizing and running these trips on site. He runs into one of these guys, and according to him, this is like at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I'll just read this quote. He says, this dude who's running the show, he comes wheeling out of a room with a guy he calls a lobbyist. I don't know what job that is, but apparently it's really important. He just comes rolling out of his office. They're just jacked out of their minds, totally blitzed off their nuts. So you've got these two guys wickedly intoxicated. The lobbyist steps aside, and now it's just him and this gentleman named Daniel Tinsley, who's helping to run things. And he says, hey, man, I've got such amazing news. We've got a way to kill this bill. And our guy, our veteran Tim Cord in the piece was stunned, because when they're on Capitol Hill, their message is twofold as they're going door to door. It's that we support the 9/11 victims' families. We love those guys. We want them to have their day in court. However, we need to fix this law so that it protects our veterans from being and service members from being sued in foreign courts, mm-hmm. which, again, as we talked about, is a false charge anyway.
Right.
So all the time they're talking about how much they're in it for the 9/11 family. So all of a sudden you've got one of the principal organizers saying, hey, we can kill this thing entirely. And his idea, their idea, I guess, which he had just gotten from that other smashed lobbyist guy, was that if they insert something into JASTA, you know, by amendment, that caps the compensation that lawyers can get at 5% or 10% or some number, then no lawyer is going to want to take the case. And so they basically, you know, by totally disincentivizing law firms from participating it, kind of kick the whole chair out from under it and render everything else moot. And then, so he's got a basically intoxicated interrogation subject, and he asks him, by the way, dude, who's paying for all this? And he says, dude, it's the freaking kingdom. And yeah, for Tim Cord, this veteran, that was not what he wanted to hear. These guys, especially the Cord brothers, I think David was in already before 9/11. But for these other two, they enlisted because of 9/11. And to then find out that they are being used by the government that's been very credibly linked in multiple ways to the 9/11 hijackers, you can imagine the rage that he went into.
All right, y'all, Scott Horton here, and I got a great deal for you. Anyone who helps support this show with a $50 donation or more gets a copy of the brand new Rothbard book, Murray N. Rothbard book, of long-lost essays from 1967 and 68. It's entitled Never a Dull Moment, A Libertarian Looks at the 60s. Murray N. Rothbard, really Mr. Libertarian himself, on Vietnam, conscription, civil rights, LBJ and Nixon, and all kinds of great stuff from back during those times. Never a Dull Moment, and it's an exclusive. It's not available on Amazon yet. It's an exclusive, so far at least, for listeners of this show. So be the first to get it. Help support this show at the same time. Just go to scotthorton.org/donate. And again, anyone who sends $50 on this way, along with a mailing address, and I will get this book right to you. Thanks.
Yeah, that's really something else. It's, again, back to you finding these guys and, you know, basically doing the legwork to track them down and see what they had to say. And I guess no surprise that you would find something scandalous trying to look at. I mean, I guess I had never heard of this thing, but if you had just told me, yeah, there's this thing where Iraq war vets are brought to D.C. to lobby against JASTA, I might agree with you that you should investigate that. Brian, that sounds like a story, buddy. Because, yeah, of course that's how they feel about it once they realize that they've been lied to, you know?
Right. Yeah, that was my big question was I thought, can these veterans know that Saudi Arabia is behind this and they're still going on these trips? And so the answer was kind of confirmed my gut feeling that most of them, the vast majority of them, have no idea when they get there.
All right, so what did these guys do once they found that out? Again, I love the scene, too. It just sounds just like a movie, right, where the drunken lobbyist comes out and admits way too much to the people he's manipulating, and then how do they react?
Tim Cord was enraged, and his brother was enraged, and the next morning they get together, and they had grown to trust this David Kassler, or Kassler, I need to check that pronunciation, and they kind of quietly share it with each other, kind of with people that they had grown to trust, and David kind of talks the other two down from raging and says, hey, just keep quiet. Let's keep our eyes on things. Keep our ears open. You know, they didn't participate with Ernest in the lobbying. So they just kind of kept making the rounds with these, you know, groups of four or whatever. But they kind of continue to monitor things and watch and listen. And as David Kassler says, if you want to destroy something, the most effective way is to destroy it from within. So they basically turned into, at that point, monitors, you know, if you will. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we were able to connect, and then they've got their platform now and bringing this to light.
Yeah, this sounds like a huge story to me. You know, I don't know exactly who's got to hit retweet or share before it turns into a viral kind of a deal, but or maybe it already has and I missed it, but it sure deserves to be. And I can see here at the bottom of the page you have Saudi lobbyists recruiting veterans to kill 9/11 lawsuit. Veterans being misled on JASTA, says international law expert. That's the article you referred to before. And then here, Daily Caller exposes Saudi AstroTurf effort against JASTA. I mean, basically, it sounds like what you're reporting here is it's as cynical as it gets, man. They go to any length here. See, I don't know, man. It seems kind of stupid to me. Well, for this very reason, right? Like, this is really overreaching, lying to and using a bunch of Marine Corps veterans from the Iraq War and that kind of thing. This could really blow back in their face, so to speak, you know?
Exactly.
I would like to see it do so.
I thought the same thing. You know, Corvus is this enormous, you know, company doing this kind of work on behalf of Saudi Arabia around the world. And all of a sudden, it's amateur hour. They hire these people down the chain to run this operation, people who are at a level where their good idea of dispelling any notion that Saudi Arabia is involved is to step to the mic when you first greet these veterans and say, hey, Saudi Arabia has nothing to do with this. You know, actually, it'd be one thing to just to be quiet, but to assertively in front of 40 witnesses at a time lie about what's going on. You know, 40 witnesses at a time, at some point, somebody's going to get wind of what's really going on and something's going to get loose. And you know, the deception doesn't just apply to the veterans involved. It carries over to the members of Congress that they're calling on. They're told when they're up on the Hill, hey, when people ask who organized this, you just tell them, you know, you're a bunch of veterans up here doing this on your own. Also, anytime
that's very interesting. Like, hi, welcome to our group. You're now in the in-group. Here's the lie we want you to tell. Wow.
Right.
That's
right.
These guys sure are brave, so
right.
to speak.
And any lobbying effort, you know, if you and I were lobbying for anything, you know, for new regulations for lawn sprinklers in Austin or San Antonio, you know, one of the things you'd always do as you go door to door, you leave something behind. You leave a piece of paper behind that summarizes your position so the staffers can look at it. They can show it to their boss and so forth. And you leave some material behind to help make that case and help seal the deal. Now, with this campaign organized by Corvus, you're flying people in, you're putting them up at the Trump Hotel for three nights at a time. No leave behind paperwork. And it wasn't because of money. The veterans I talked to said that you know, when people said, are we going to be, you know, leaving any material? They said, no, there's some requirements for that, so we're not going to be doing that. Well, the requirements, Scott, is the Foreign Agents Registration Act, you know, which is a law that is designed to create transparency. When you're working on behalf of a foreign government, this law wants you to make sure that you are telling everybody you're working on behalf of that foreign government so they can, you know, just transparency and understand what your motives are and who's really behind what you're doing. So that act requires that anytime you leave informational material or distribute it really to anybody, you have to have a conspicuous disclosure at the bottom saying that this is being distributed on behalf of, in this case, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So you've got veterans just showing up in offices saying, hey, we're just here on our own and not leaving any material behind. And I talked to a staffer in a member of Congress office and a few weeks ago, and I gave him a heads up that these veterans were going to be up on the Hill. And he says, hey, they're coming to my office tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So he was ready, and I briefed him on it. And he probed them. He said, so where are you guys staying? And they ducked that question. And they said, so who's organizing this? And again, they just said that they were concerned veterans, and he asked them for material, and they said, "Oh, maybe we'll get you some later." You know, so it was very consistent with that pattern of deception.
That's amazing that they're that willing to lie. Oh yeah, no, we're just here on vacation and decided to drop by and talk to you about JASTA, Congressman. These soldiers, and they're not even really getting paid, right? They're just getting a hotel room for the night,
right? Or three nights. Yeah, I mean, it is a very attractive offer if you are, you know, one of these veterans. I mean, you're basically talking about a free week in D.C. staying at the Trump International Hotel, meeting one-on-one, four-on-one with senators, representatives. You know, it's a pretty neat week for somebody. So, I mean, that's an incentive in itself, plus the networking that's going on. And then it seems like this whole enterprise is something like a multi-level marketing effort where you've got some veterans who are going again and again, and then they are excelling and earning favor because they're recruiting and roping, you know, new people into it and signing people up to do it.
Right.
So.
All right. So this is stupid, but I still like it. John Bircher. The guy's name really is John Bircher. If your last name is Bircher, you name your son John? I don't get it. Like, really? That's what you do? Anyway, so this guy, who apparently has nothing to do with the Bircher Society whatsoever, he's got this military order of the Purple Heart, and this is an extra little lie. This is the kind of thing that'll help your story go viral here, is that the Saudi lobbyists are basically having these soldiers pretend to be wounded combat veterans, even if they're not, by giving them, by pinning these fake little Purple Hearts on them. How does this work?
Well, let's sort all this out. First, John Bircher, he was not involved in this. He was just a spokesperson for the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Jason John's the guy who's really running this particular operation.
Oh, I'm sorry. You just asked this guy Bircher for his comment about they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just got distracted by his insanely unbelievable name that he has here. But anyway. Sorry, Mr. Bircher.
Yes. Jason John's is the National Senior Vice Commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart and the one who is a principal organizer of these trips and the one who said, welcomed everybody with a disclosure that it was, you know, this where Saudi Arabia has nothing to do with it. I reached out to the Military Order of the Purple Heart to see, you know, what their stance was. And they said, hey, whatever he's doing is on his own. It has nothing to do with our organization. But getting back to what you were saying, one of the veterans noticed that a lot of the veterans who were more experienced and had made multiple trips, they were wearing these pins that had an image of the Purple Heart ribbon and you know, some words to the effect of honoring our Purple Heart veterans or something like that. And he said these were people who had not earned the Purple Heart themselves. But by putting it on your lapel, he says, you know, unless you looked really close, you know, some congressional staffer is going to probably assume you have the Purple Heart and give you even more reverence than they were already giving you for being one of America's veterans. So it seems to point to another, you know, one more layer of dishonesty or deceit associated with this whole enterprise.
Stolen valor, I say. Which I think that's stupid. Stolen valor doesn't make any sense at all. But I think it's a good way to help get this story viral. I mean, I think you really got to somehow put out a press release to as many right-wing, conservative, and military-type organizations as you can who maybe aren't interested in 28 pages type stuff, but they are very interested in anybody lying to and exploiting Marines and putting them in this position. Whereas you say, they're lobbying for foreign power and they don't even really understand. They may be breaking the law or something, the way they're being set up here. That should piss off a lot of people on a very broad basis. In fact, I mean, of all the connections that you made lobbying to get the 28 pages declassified, Brian, I wonder if there's anybody in the House or the Senate who's a real champion of this cause that maybe you could get them to try to do something about it.
Yeah, we're working on that and working to try to get members of Congress
to make the story famous. That's
exactly. To put it out there in big time. I've reached out to dozens of reporters, even ones I've already worked with, and for some reason, this story has not gained traction yet. You've got malfeasance on behalf of a foreign government, hidden motives, Congress being misled, veterans being used and abused, and so far they're not picking up and running with it. So I'd encourage your listeners to share this story as much as possible. And to send it to your members of Congress too, to give them a heads up as to what's going on.
Yeah. Hey,
I would think a representative like Tulsi Gabbard might take this by the horns too. You're talking about an Iraq vet, probably the most strident anti-Saudi spokesperson on Capitol Hill, and a veteran. So, so we're trying to get as much interest on the Hill as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what, too, man. God, I hate to say this, Brian, but you could get the FN Daily Mail to write a story that's, you know, more or less just based on your story here and make it huge. Just make sure they've seen this. You know what I mean? Like,
right. This
is exactly, I'm sorry, what made me think of it was your three big headers at the top. I thought, you know, the Daily Mail would run with this. You know?
with lots of photos.
yeah, exactly. Make sure there's a good picture. But yeah, I mean, I think I just, you know, this is another one of these stories that you've done that really could be huge. And I think, you know, you've already proven with your work on the 28 pages how much of a difference you can make on these issues. And, you know, after all, don't we want to see these families have their day in court? And if they think that they can pin this thing on Bandar one way or the other, let them try, right? Why shouldn't they at least have the chance to try? I could show you at least probable cause to hold a hearing, you know.
That's right. No, they've got quite a lot of evidence, and when you look at who's arrayed on the anti-justice side, You know, it's not just Saudi Arabia and their lobbyists. Again, it's Lindsey Graham, John McCain, perennial Saudi apologists. But you know, one of the reasons why these veterans are prone to believing these false claims about JASTA is the overwhelming number of people who, you know, you got quotes from Secretary of Defense and retired generals in the intel community, all against this John Brennan. And, you know, for all those people, you know, they're all part of this Washington establishment tendency and drive to protect Saudi Arabia, the quote unquote cherished ally of the United States, from, you know, from getting into trouble, from embarrassment. And so it's a big lineup of forces on the other side of this issue trying to unwind JASTA and water it down.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting to me that, you know, their reaction to the lie isn't, what are you talking about? No Americans committed any war crimes in any of our recent completely justified, wonderful wars of liberation. I mean, why would we be in trouble for any of the things that we did? They kind of know that, like, oh, man, aggressive war is the top war crime on the list. And so's, you know, torture and a lot of the things that Americans did to Afghans and Iraqis outside of the supposed rule of law. And they know right. that, you know, if there was such a thing as justice, that maybe they would be held accountable or someone might try.
Yeah, and this act specifically speaks to acts of terrorism. So, of course, that definition can be flexible. But if you look, there's a online, there's a, you can find McCain and Graham going to the Senate floor and having a discussion of this issue, you know, back and forth. And they say some things in there that are pretty interesting. You know, Lindsey Graham says, you know, we've been giving weapons to some people in Syria who are borderline at best, and we wouldn't want our government to be sued if they go and do something to someone else. It kind of points to this whole facilitation of extremism in Syria, which side we're on in there, and that we're basically bedfellows with the al-Nusra Front and others in that country. And then you've got Graham and McCain who are all for that kind of irresponsible activity, you know, then saying, whoa, we wouldn't want to be held responsible for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing of it, especially with people like McCain and Graham. They're so caught up in how wrong they are about everything that they will make some severe admissions sometimes.
Yes.
You know,
here's a great
that,
quote
out of
from
the mouths of babes kind of a way.
Yes. Here's a great quote. Here's some quotes from Graham. We're providing aid and assistance to groups that are very questionable at best. I don't want us as a nation to be responsible for acts we did not know about or intend to happen. Just simply helping somebody doesn't make you liable for all the things they might do down the road. It's like, okay, would Graham hold that same standard to other countries? You know, that, well, just because they armed this group doesn't mean that they should be held responsible. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, great work as always here, Brian. And I'm sure there'll be more follow-ups to come. It's sort of an ongoing series that you have here. Well, I guess, wait, let me ask you about, you know, so what is the status at this point, right, with the rewrite and everything? Did they succeed in rewriting the law and repass it?
Or? Oh, no. This is an ongoing battle. It's lurking out there.
But so far, the good enough version is the current law of the land.
Yeah,
so,
it's a solid
So then are
version.
The lawsuits going forward at this point?
Yes, there should be courtroom activity and probably more along the, you know, hearing.
I mean, they've been attempting to sue all along, right? But James Baker has consistently frustrated their attempts.
Yeah, they've been in and out of courtrooms already, you know, fighting interpretations of that Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act and so forth. So now this cleared that, and within weeks you should see hearings and that type of thing starting. Not the actual trial, but hearings. There's a great article by James Rosen at McClatchy, if you Google, you know, 9/11 families, that type of thing. I know it was in the Miami Herald. Real long deep dive on the upcoming trial and what all the families have been through to try to get there. So yeah, right now JASTA is the law of the land. You know, we're on the forces of good are on top of the hill and trying to, you know, guard it from a counterassault from Saudi Arabia and all its fellow travelers in Washington D.C.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All right, thank you very much, sir.
Hey, great to be with you again, Scott.
All right, you guys, that is Brian McGlinchey from 28pages.org. Yeah, he played a major role in getting the 28 pages declassified. He's got a great write-up on that on the site as well. But these are: veterans say organizers concealed Saudi sponsorship of their trip to D.C. over JASTA. Veterans being misled on JASTA, says international law expert. And Daily Caller exposes Saudi AstroTurf effort against JASTA. Click, retweet, share, and help make this story viral. It's a pretty big one, I think. Thanks, y'all. Scott Horton Show. Check out the archives at scotthorton.org. More than 4,000-something interviews. It's almost 4,400 interviews there at scotthorton.org. Almost all anti-war stuff, going back to 2003. Check out the new gig at the Libertarian Institute. I'm the managing director there. I got Sheldon Richmond, Will Grigg, and Jared LaBelle with me, a bunch of great bloggers, and a lot of great articles, including a splash of this one by McGlinchey. And follow me on Twitter, at Scott Horton Show. Except be warned that I might cuss at you and make you hate me. All right. Thank you. See ya. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey, Al Scott here. Ever wanted to help support the show and own silver at the same time? Well, a friend of mine, libertarian activist Arlo Pignatti, has invented the alternative currency with the most promise of them all. QR Silver Commodity Discs. The first ever QR code 1 ounce silver pieces. Just scan the back of one with your phone and get the instant spot price. They're perfect for saving or spending at the market. And anyone who donates $100 or more to the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate gets one. That's scotthorton.org/donate. And if you'd like to learn and order more, send them a message at commoditydiscs.com or check them out on Facebook at /commoditydiscs. And thanks. Hey, Al Scott here for Rye Guys t-shirts. Rye Guys, that's WRYGuys.com. Great, irreverent, thought-provoking t-shirts upholding a pro-freedom perspective. Inspired by such classic humorists as Mark Twain, H.L. Mencken, and Oscar Wilde, they invoke the wit and wisdom of the past to satirize modern myths. These high-quality shirts for men and women look good and feel good, and they make great gifts. Use the coupon code SCOTT for 15% off. Rye Guys t-shirts at ryguys.com. That's WRYGuys.com.